Isaac Watts, the writer of that hymn. Verse 3 says, "Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin." Well might the sun in darkness hide. And that he's referring to when from the night, from the sixth hour till the ninth, it was darkness over all the land. The sun was blotted out. And you remember that hymn, or try to, as we look at this message in Matthew 27. There at the cross I saw the light. Look at verse 54 with me. This is what we'll dwell on in a moment. Matthew 27:54. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him saw, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The title of this message is "A Soldier Saved at the Foot of the Cross." Now, I've never really dwelt on this one verse, but it certainly did catch my attention. But let's look, beginning with verse 50. We looked at this Sunday when Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, after he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He cried again with a loud voice. And we know the Scripture says in John's Gospel, he said, "It is finished," with a loud voice. "It is finished." And then he also cried, in Luke's Gospel is recorded that he cried, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And it says in verse 50, he yielded up the ghost. He died. Now, the Scripture says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God became a man. And that's a great mystery that we cannot fathom. We read how that he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God forsook God, in the words of Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, "I can't grasp it." And then the sinless one, he who knew no sin, yet was made the sin. That's a great mystery. But perhaps the greatest mystery of all is he died. John said, "We beheld him life, but he died." He died. That's a great mystery, isn't it? In verse 51, it says, "And behold," and we looked at this Sunday, "the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom." And we saw, I believe, why that happened. The way into the Holy of Holies, into the heaven itself, into the presence of God was opened because Christ died. And the old covenant, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And all those old things are done away with. Beggarly element, shadow, done away with for the substance, Christ. And it says the earth did quake. Not that there was an earthquake, but the earth did quake. And I have written under that Psalm 18. If you've never seen this, look at it with me. Psalm 18. This is a marvelous prophecy of Christ being crucified. In Psalm 18, verse 4, Psalm 18, it says, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth, the wrath of God. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet." And on is that marvelous passage. But it says the earth did quake. The whole earth shook. And in our text it says the rocks rent. The rocks did rend, were split, and broken. Rocks, massive stone, but not our rock. I thought, Brother Stan, not our rock. He stood firm. And there he stands. And all because Christ died. Look at verse 53. Verse 52. Because Christ died, the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Many that were dead lived. And after his resurrection came out of the graves and went into the holy city and appeared unto many saints which slept. You notice again, it doesn't say they were dead or who had died, but those who slept. Because he that believeth the Christ shall never die, the Lord said. They slept. And it says they appeared unto many. Well, that's a marvelous miracle that some of you have, we've talked about that, how that was undeniable. Another undeniable fact or proof of who it was that died on that cross that the dead or those who slept in Christ lived and came into town and appeared unto many. What a miracle that was. Irrefutable, undeniable proof of who it was that died there and his power. But just as miraculous, and now later on Sunday we're going to look at how they try to cover this thing up. They're going to try to keep this thing under wraps. They're going to try to keep this story quiet. But just as miraculous, that would be hard to cover up, wouldn't it? The people coming out of the graves. But just as miraculous, people, is dead sinners to this day. Dead in trespasses and sin live and appear unto many. Those who were once dead appear unto many, believing, loving, believing, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they once denied and rejected and hated. And we see some of them, don't we? We see them appear unto us, come in here, and we think, well, there's so-and-so. What a miracle. Undeniable miracles and proof that truly this was the Son of God. This is what now the centurion, verse 54. Now, when the centurion, that is a title. He's more than just a common soldier. He's a captain. He's an officer. He's head over many soldiers. When the centurion and they that were with him, centurion and other soldiers, I believe, perhaps some of his officers or some other men underneath him, the centurion and those that were with him, it says they were watching. They saw the things that were done. They watched Jesus, and they saw the earthquake. And those things that were done, it says they feared. They, not only the centurion, but the others with them, feared greatly. And not only the centurion, but whoever and however many it was that were with him, they all said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, Now, here's a miracle. Would you go with me to Mark chapter 15? This account is given in all the Gospels. But in Mark chapter 15 is another account, similar but something in addition. Mark chapter 15. Now, this Roman soldier took part in the crucifixion of our Lord. He may have ordered them to beat him. He may have taken part in it, the actual torture of our Lord. He may have ordered the nails to be driven or took part in it himself. And I'm sure he mocked him along with the rest of them. But this soldier, this centurion, was saved by the very one he helped kill. Mark 15, verse 39 says, when the centurion, which stood over against him, after all was done to him, he stood over to the side and watched this whole scene. And when the centurion, who stood over on the other side, saw that he so cried out, or that he has heard the Lord say, "It is finished," with such power and dignity and authority and force, and the things that happened, and saw him give up the ghost go to Luke 23. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, this is where it is written in verse 47. Look at this. Verse 46. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Now, how do you know this man was saved? He glorified God. He saw the Son lifted up, and he confessed it. Didn't he? Gloried in Christ crucified. Now, this Roman soldier, he saw what was done. He heard the Lord cry out in such a fashion and saw the Lord bow his head. And in the other gospel it says the Lord bowed his head. I think it's John's gospel. That he bowed his head. His head didn't drop, didn't fall because he all of a sudden died. But he bowed his head solemnly and with dignity and with still with his own will and his own life force in him, bowed his head and just died. Gave up the ghost. He took it and gave it up. Gave up the ghost. And this man cried out, truly, this man was the Son of God. The Son. He didn't say a son. He said the Son of God. And he glorified God. And over there we read, he said, certainly this was a righteous man. Now, this soldier was no different than the thieves who hung on those crosses beside our Lord, was it? No different whatsoever. The ones whom he probably helped to kill also, or gave the orders to anyway, he was no different than they were. He's a murderer. This soldier is a violent, murdering, God-hating, Christ-hating, mocking, scoffing, jeering, unbelieving sinner is what he is. And he hates this one hanging on the cross here. He hates him. And with malice and envy, it says in another place, and even pleasure, jeered him and mocked him and inflicted great pain and tortured him. But it was all according to the purpose of God. And this soldier, according to the electing grace of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that, you know, there are many soldiers, and they were people like us, and they worked a job. It was a job to them. And different ones had different shifts. Different ones worked the day shift, and the evening shift, and the night shift, had time off, and so forth. Rome was a civilized, so-called society at the time. And this man, today was his day to work. In God's good providence, in God's sovereign providence, the Lord had him working that shift that day. And the Lord had him at the foot of the cross when it was all over, under the shadow of the cross. We sing that song, don't we? Under the shadow of the cross, beneath the cross of Jesus is where he stood. Over against him, Scripture says. And God, in his sovereign mercy and sovereign electing, saving purpose and power, God Almighty had this man there that day in order to see the Son lifted up. Because our Lord said, this is the will of the Father, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth in him, I'll raise him up. I'll save him. I'll raise him up. And God Almighty had this man there this day and had him here. The first thing this man did was, the first thing that happened was he heard the Lord, what the Lord was saying on the cross. Faith cometh by hearing. I know it says that when he saw the things that were done, but he heard, first of all, our Lord uttered seven sayings from that cross. Seven sayings. Brother Arthur Pink wrote a book, well, just a commentary years ago, back in the 50s, with that title. Very short little book on the seven sayings of the cross. And here are those seven sayings. And this centurion heard all of those sayings. And in each saying is something marvelous and something powerful and something effectual. The first words that our Lord uttered from Calvary's tree when they finally hung him up there were, now these soldiers had just driven those nails in his hands, the centurion, one of them. And they lifted that cross up, you know, with whatever means they did in order to get it up. And drop it down in that hole. And every joint of his body, you know, came out. And in a little few minutes, or however long, the Lord cried out, the first words out of his mouth, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they did. And those are the words the Lord used to break this old God-hating, Christ-hating rebel. And that centurion was standing there and he heard these words. And they were meant for him. Because whoever Christ prays for that the Father will forgive, they're forgiven. Because Christ, the Father always hears him. That's what he said at Lazarus' tomb, didn't he? I know that you hear me. You always hear me. But I say this for them that stand by. Father, forgive me. That was for that centurion. The next thing our Lord uttered were words to that thief on the cross. The one on his right hand. You know, remember the one on his left hand and the one on his right hand who turned out to be a sheep on his right hand. Remember the man said to him, Lord, first they were both cursing Christ, just like everybody else. And all of a sudden, this one on the right hand, just, his mouth was stopped. He began to loathe himself. And he began to realize, this man's done nothing amiss. This is the righteous one, the sinless one. He was looking at him. He was observing him. The thief on the cross heard the Lord say that. That first utterance. And that was for him. Father, forgive him for cursing me just now. He knows not what he does. And that thief turned and looked at that bloody man on that tree and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the centurion's watching this. The centurion's listening to this. And the Lord said, verily, I say unto thee, today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now the centurion is listening to this. And then the Lord, and a little while later, the Lord looked down from his cross. And there stood John, the beloved disciple, and Mary, his supposed mother. And he said unto the woman, Mary. He said, woman. Now he's not thinking of himself, though he's enduring indescribable pain and suffering beyond pain. He's not thinking of himself because he's given himself completely for the sins of his people. And he looks down at this woman, thinking of her care and her provisions. He's going to see to her needs and her care after he's gone. And he says, "Woman, behold thy son." He puts her into the care. She's going to be, apparently she's a widow, and he tells her, "This is your son now. He's going to take care of you." And then he says, "Behold thy mother, you take care of her." What words of affection, what words of care, what words of compassion from one who's suffering so. This is not the way of man, is it? And then the centurion heard this. And then we saw a couple of weeks ago when the Lord cried to the Father. The Lord had forsaken him. God had forsaken him. He was alone. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Words of anguish, because this is the substitute. And then he cries in his suffering. And he had been suffering a long time and endured it much longer than anyone else had or would. These soldiers had crucified quite a few fellows. They'd seen quite a few fellows endure pain. Pilate had inflicted pain and suffering upon quite a few big, brawny men and saw them reduced to mere shriveling or sniveling babies. Not this man. And even Pilate was amazed at his self-possession and his dignity and his power over himself and over pain and suffering, and didn't defend himself. When he was reviled, reviled not again. Oh, now there's a man. And that's what Pilate said. Behold the man. He said that to his soldiers, and the centurion heard that. And so he had suffered a long time, the Lord. He hung 6 hours on the cross, and he'd had his hands and feet pierced. And an average human being would have died from loss of blood very shortly after. Not him. He didn't die from loss of blood. He gave up the ghost. But he uttered these words, "I thirst." And he didn't say this. I know he didn't. Knowing what else he said, I know he didn't say this in a way as to appeal for help. He didn't say this in a way that I want to die of thirst. No, 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 no. He's saying this that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Because it says he would say, "I thirst," and in his thirst they gave him vinegar to drink. And he said this also with a clear voice. Barbara, he didn't say this with a raspy voice that was parched needing water, but he said it with the voice of the Lord now was never weak. And he said it with power and again with dignity. "I thirst that the Scriptures might be fulfilled." And the centurion heard this. And then he heard those words where the Lord cried out so that all heaven and earth would hear. "It is finished." Words of finality, words of victorious words. As if something were absolutely accomplished. As a victor, as one who's vanquished his foes. And he said with a loud voice, as one who had conquered a world, if you will, "It is finished." Oh, man. And the centurion heard this. And then those last words, that seventh saying our Lord uttered when he said, "Father," and again, in total control, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now, the centurion heard this. He heard all this. And you did too. this is what he heard, the voice, the powerful voice of the Son of God. And the voice of the Son of God will make the hinds to calve and the cedars to break. And it'll also break the hardest heart. A man who'd come in to inflict pain and torture and out of hatred and resentment. A wicked, violent man who hated this man in front of him. The Lord God took that very man who hated him and turned him into a lover of him. Right then and there. It came to jeer him and taunt him, wanted him dead, and when it was ended, he wanted to bow at his feet. That's power. And the Lord had him behold standing at the foot of the cross, had him behold the crucified one, because this is life. Behold the crucified one. And he had the very blood of the Son of God on his hands. And blasphemies and insults had just come out of his mouth. But God, rich in mercy for this man, and grace quickened it by his grace. Rich in mercy. I love that Psalm 71:3 says, "Thou gavest commandment to save me." This was his time, wasn't it? This was this man's time. And the Lord gave commandment. That song Brother Parks sang, "Almighty love, arrest that man." Now this soldier, this centurion, has been apprehended, been arrested by almighty love, by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, even then, hanging on that cross, gave commandment to save that man right there and his buddies. And all of a sudden, according to the working of God's mighty power, that once hateful, murderous rebel sees the Son, believes the Son, glorifies God, and with the heart, out of the heart of the issues of life. See, he's been given a new heart. Life has been given for a look at the Son. Out of a new heart and faith from the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, or with the heart man believeth, and out of the abundance of the heart, when something's in the heart, it's got to come out the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so he had to truly, he confessed him right then and there for all to hear. And so did the rest of them. Truly, this was the Son of God. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is born of God. This is the Son of God, truly, certainly. And he gave glory to God. Now, isn't this salvation? It's a salvation. Seeing the Son, seeing the crucified one, seeing the substitute, hearing his voice, hearing his powerful voice, having the heart broken, seeing one's own sinfulness, seeing Christ's glory, glorifying God through Christ the Son, and say, he said this too, this is a righteous man. Not me. Not anybody here. This one. This one. And he says, this is not just Jesus, this is the Lord Jesus. This is not just Jesus, this is the Lord, my righteousness. This is not just Jesus, this is the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. My God, my Lord, my Savior, my all. Yes, when Christ died, many lived. And this man is one of them. The Lord had purposed him to be there that day. He purposed him to be there, to sit, to stand at the foot of the Lord's cross and behold his glory. Aren't you glad? And he did the same thing for me one day and for you. Okay, stand with me.